Well, let's stand together this evening. We'll begin our service.
Your table, Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you.
evening, standing for prayer.
Our Father, we are so grateful for the amazing grace that you've shown us in Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that because of your grace, the chains have fallen away. They're gone and gone forever. But Lord, more than that, we thank you that in your grace, our debt has been erased. Our sin is gone. Lord, we thank you for the forgiveness that's ours in Jesus Christ. We thank you that you sent your own Son into the world as the propitiation, the satisfaction of your wrath against our sins. And on the cross, he bore our sins in his own body on the tree so that we might be saved, so that we might enjoy the adoption as sons and daughters. Father, we thank you for the grace you've shown us. And thank you that that grace doesn't end with salvation, that daily we are recipients of your grace, that every good thing in life is ultimately an expression of your grace to us. And we thank you as is so beautifully promised to us in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, that you will spend eternity showing us the expressions of your kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you and praise you. And so it is our joy to gather again tonight to worship you, God our Creator, and in Christ our Redeemer. We thank you for the gospel. We thank you for the privilege of knowing you through Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we welcome you back tonight. We're so glad that you're here. Let me just say, first of all, welcome if you're our guest. We're so glad you've come. Perhaps you came because you knew it was our baptism service and you came to support one of these who's being baptized. Or maybe in God's providence, you came expecting a normal Sunday night service and you've come upon really one of the highlights in the life of our church, as we have an opportunity to hear from those who have been redeemed, to hear their testimonies. Really a powerful time of God's deliverance and rescue of sinners. So we welcome you and trust you'll enjoy your time with us this evening. It's important before they come to be baptized that we remind ourselves what baptism is and isn't, because there's a lot of bad teaching, even false teaching about baptism. There are those who teach that baptism saves, that it somehow contributes to our salvation. But that is so clearly not the case in the New Testament texts. When you look at the book of Acts and you see the scenes unfold again and again, you see that faith in Jesus Christ is what saves. And baptism follows as a sign that points to the spiritual reality that's already occurred. One of my favorite examples is from Acts 16 and the story of the Philippian jailer who, you remember, Paul and Silas were imprisoned and they were singing, and God sent an earthquake and the prisoners were set free, and the jailer came about to take his own life because he knew that his life would be forfeit in light of the prisoners escaping, and Paul encouraged him not to take his own life. And then he said to Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul's simple answer was, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." Believe in his perfect life, in his substitutionary death in the place of sinners, and his resurrection. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. So it is faith in Jesus Christ that saves. And then the Philippian jailer, having experienced that salvation, having heard the truth, and it was further explained to him, according to the text there in Acts 16, and having heard it and understood it, he believed. And having believed and been saved, it says, then he was baptized. The word baptized simply means to immerse in water, to plunge into water. It's used in a number of non-theological texts in the New Testament where it means exactly that. Why? Why did Christ command this ordinance? It seems so dated from our perspective, and yet it's not. It's so powerful in its pictures. First of all, baptism is a confession. It's a confession of Jesus Christ as Lord. Read through the book of Acts, and again it says that they were baptized in the name of Jesus. Baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. It was a public confession of Jesus Christ as Lord. In fact, in the early church, when you were baptized, you used those exact words, Jesus is Lord, and then you were baptized. But baptism itself is really such a confession. It is as well a picture of the spiritual reality of regeneration, that a person is made new when you believe. Even before you believe, in that process, in that moment, God gives a person spiritual life who was once dead, and they come to life. And so baptism pictures that beautifully. As I put the person into the water, it's a picture that the person they used to be before they trusted in Christ, that person has died and is no more. And then as I pull them up out of the water, it's a picture that they died with Christ, as it were buried with Christ, and then as I bring them up out of the water, that they have risen to new life in Jesus Christ. As Paul puts it to the Corinthians, they are new creations in Jesus Christ. So it's a beautiful picture of the spiritual reality, but it is a picture. It's a confession. It's a picture of what Christ has done. It's also a picture of being immersed into the body of Christ, that is, being joined to others, other believers in the body of Christ. So it's a powerful testimony, and I hope that you'll be praying for those who come to share their testimony now in obedience to their Lord in baptism.
Hello, my name is Emma Irvin, and this is my testimony. Before salvation, I was very self-absorbed and only sought man's approval. I had grown up in a Christian home, I knew the gospel, and took pride in knowing all the right Sunday school answers. But all that knowledge was nothing without faith. James 2:19 says, "Even the demons believe and tremble." Despite knowing that the only way to salvation was through Jesus Christ, I was still trying to earn my salvation by being good on the outside and playing the part of being a Christian. But in reality, no good works I could do would please God. Isaiah 64:6 says, "All our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment." In 2018, I was in a pattern of sin, and my mom encouraged me to examine my life. I came to realize that I wasn't a true believer, and I understood that the only way to become a Christian was that I had to repent of my sin and put my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior. And then I recognized that God sent his only son, Jesus, who lived a perfect sinless life. He was crucified to pay for my sins and rose again on the third day so that I could be justified with God. Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me." Since coming to Christ, I look forward to coming to church to understand more about God and his word. I enjoy fellowshipping with other believers and striving to become more like Christ. Being a part of the college ministry here at Countryside has definitely grown me in my walk with the Lord, and I'm so thankful for Brandon Ragsdale's teaching and faithful leaders. Instead of seeking other people's praise and living for myself, I now live to obey and glorify God. I regularly attend church and seek to apply what I've learned from the lessons and seek to grow through daily Bible reading and prayer. John 15:14 says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments," and that's why I'm here to be baptized tonight.
Well, Emma, thank you for your testimony. Thank you for the clear realization that you were a sinner, and expressing that and expressing that you have placed your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Because you have believed in the name of Jesus Christ, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Everett Bodo. As early as I can remember, my parents, grandparents, aunts, and uncles have read the Bible to me, helped me memorize verses, and share the gospel with me. But the first time I actually remember understanding the gospel was when I was 7 years old. My older brother Austin and I share a room. One night, we talked about the gospel and what it really means. I had heard about Jesus many times, but for some reason, that night I really understood. He talked about the fact that we are created by God and that he loves us. He talked about how sin entered the world and that we all have sinned. I knew I was disobedient at times. I have 5 brothers, and it's easy to be selfish with my things, get annoyed with them, and lose my temper and take it out on my brothers. But that night, while we were talking, I finally understood that my sin has real consequences. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." My sin separates me from God. It results in eternal death. I went downstairs and talked to my parents. I told them I knew I needed a Savior, and they helped me understand that that Savior is Jesus. We read Romans 5:8, which says, "God showed his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." My sin had eternal consequence, but God provided a way for us to be saved. Jesus came into the world to take my punishment. He lived a perfect life and took my consequences. He suffered and died so that I didn't have to. So I wanted to know how I could be saved. We read Romans 10:9, "If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." So that night, I believed. It has been 5 years since then. My understanding of the Bible has grown. My faith has grown. I'm not perfect. I still get upset and too competitive at times, and sometimes argue with my brothers. But I feel convicted of my sins and actually mean it when I say I'm sorry. I read the Bible first thing in the morning, and I read a devotional every night before bed. I ask God to forgive me of my sins and also pray for my grandfather to know Jesus every day. I am memorizing scripture. It gives me the confidence to know that God is always there no matter what. My favorite verse is Joshua 1:9. "Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Now, as a Christian, my goal is to live for him and to serve God with the time, talents, and resources he has given me. So I wanted to be baptized out of obedience to Christ, but also to let everyone know that I've chosen to follow Jesus. Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I am proud to follow in the footsteps of Papa and Micah, Coach and Mia, Grammy, my parents, Aunt Jenny and Uncle Matt, Uncle Aaron and Aunt Tara, Aunt Angie, and all my brothers and cousins who have made the decision to follow Christ. Thank you for your godly influence and guidance in my life." So that is why I'm here to be baptized today.
Well, thank you, Everett. Thank you for the clarity of how you have understood and presented the gospel to us, because you've understood that the wages of your sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Will Sparks, and I've come here tonight to share my testimony. I grew up in a Christian home with very godly Christian parents, but by no means did that mean I lived the way Christ did. I behaved as I pleased, living the life of someone who follows the world and not God. I took every new day for granted without thanking God for a new day or the mercy he has shown me. I thought I could live in a pattern of sin without consequence. I would get into heated arguments because of my sinful anger with my parents several times a week without remorse. I would not ask for forgiveness from God or from my parents. At church, I would put on the face of a Christian, but at home, I was still the same sinful person. As Matthew 23:27 says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outward appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and uncleanliness." This verse perfectly described how my life was. I thought I truly became a believer in high school, but in reality, I was still living in the same patterns of sin as before. I still argued with my parents, and I still had outbursts of anger. As I came to the end of high school, my rebellion toward God and my parents only got worse, to the point of my parents kicking me out of the house because I was now 18 at the time. And again, I claimed to know Christ, but nothing changed. I continued to disobey the Lord's commandment that is said so profoundly in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 2, which states, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Paul writes in Galatians 5, 19 through 1, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, divisions, envy, drunkenness, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do not do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." As I went through the college group, I was living in a pattern of sin. I would listen to the messages, but they would never truly convict me. I would sing the songs, but I would never truly worship from the heart. It got to the point where my dad challenged my supposed salvation, I claimed, because I still acted like I did before. He would then talk to me about Judgment Day and how I would be held accountable for all my sins. I knew in that moment that I would be found guilty because of my salvation wasn't genuine. Because as John 14:15 says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments," which was not true of my life. That night is when the Lord convicted my heart to repent of my sins and turn toward Jesus Christ, the only person in the universe that died to save me from my sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." And as Romans 3:23-24 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ." I began to see change in my heart. The Lord has replaced my heart of stone with a heart of flesh. I started to actually listen to the lesson instead of letting it go in one ear and out the other. When I would pray, it would no longer just be about me. I would pray about others. I would meditate on a passage of scripture I was reading. When I would pray at church, I started to actually focus on what we were praying about. I gave thanks to the Lord for a new day, and I actually strived to read my Bible. I no longer argue with my parents out of anger or selfish pride. I started every day, first thing in the morning, to read my Bible and meditate on what I read, and ask God to apply what I read and to set a Christ-like example toward others and to help me to be more Christ-like. While I do still sin because of our fallen nature, I strive every day to be more Christ-like, and that is why I'm here to be baptized.
Well, Will, we rejoice that the Lord brought you to see your sin, to see through the facade, which you really already saw, but to see it through God's eyes. And because you saw and understood your sin against God, because you repented of that sin, and because you have placed your faith and confidence in Jesus Christ and in him alone, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Ella Wilkinson. I grew up in a strong Christian home. From a young age, my parents and grandparents talked to me about the importance of trusting in Christ. They explained that the only way to gain eternal life is to put my faith in Jesus. That sounded easy and simple, and I loved the idea of eternal life and decided to pray a prayer of salvation one day when I went to church with my grandparents. At the age of 5, I was baptized. I still did not understand the whole gospel, though. As I got older, church became just another thing I had to check off my list on Sunday, and even though I professed to know Christ, my life did not reflect that of a true believer. I became rebellious and angry towards my parents and did not respect the authority they had over me. Ephesians 4:31, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice." I would engage in fights with my brothers just for the pleasure of getting a rise out of them. Lying became a habit, and I felt no remorse. Proverbs 12:22, "The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy." I was on the road to destruction. I was going full speed ahead at whatever my flesh felt like doing, thinking, or saying. I truly believe God sent my biblical truths teacher into my life. It was in that class in eighth grade that I believe I was converted. I don't remember exactly what the lesson was over that day, but I remember feeling very convicted over my sin in a way that I had never felt before. I wanted to know more about the gospel and more about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I learned about how my sins deserved death and eternity in hell, but God sent his only and perfect Son to take the sins of a filthy sinner like me, and how there was no way for me to earn my salvation, that it is only by the grace of God that I have eternal life in him. Or with him. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." I began to listen to Pastor John MacArthur and watch evangelists like Ray Comfort. My faith only became stronger when my parents decided to start attending Countryside in the spring of 2021. Listening to the biblically sound preaching of Pastor Tom and Justin Turner encouraged me in my faith and encouraged me to be in the Word of God more. Since I have come to faith in Christ, I have a desire to study God's Word. I desire to obey and honor my parents and grandparents, and I have a new compassion for others, whereas before I was quick to judge. I now want to be in God's Word and pray that God would give me a better understanding of His will. I now spend more time in prayer asking God how He can use my life as a light to others who have not yet come to trust in Christ. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So that is why I'm here tonight, to be baptized.
Well, Ella, thank you for sharing your testimony. We're so grateful for how the Lord brought people into your life, who brought you to understand the truth. And because you have understood your sin and the wages of sin, but even more, you've understood the gift of God in Christ Jesus. Because your faith is in Christ and in Him alone, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening. My name is Karen Shore. I did not grow up in a Christian household. Many of my beliefs were based on knowledge from a Buddha school that I learned from my parents. But I've always believed in a God. I just did not know who He was. During college, I began to wonder, who is this God in my life? I explored on the internet, followed Christian influencers online, and joined a Christian fellowship at school, through which I learned more about the Christian God. As COVID hit that March, I returned home and saw how Christian ideas, especially those relating to the afterlife, are so different from those taught in the Buddha school. I became very confused and no longer understood what my faith was. This past November, my mom was diagnosed with end-stage cancer. Fear and despair completely shattered my heart and my world. In the midst of this, a voice within me urged me to pray. It persistently whispered to me, "Just pray. Just pray." Initially, I resisted. I thought, where is God in all of this? Where is He when I needed Him the most? But after this internal battle, I finally obeyed, and I prayed. Then one morning, my mom told me that she was going to follow Jesus. Within the span of a few days, both of my parents completely devoted their faith to Jesus. Witnessing their transformations, I knew it was a miracle that only God could have performed. And I felt God changing my own heart. For the first time, I felt the heavy weight of my sins, for I am a sinner. And I desperately repented and called out to Christ, my Savior. In that moment, I felt as if I had been living in haze all my life, and the fog suddenly lifted. I felt as if I was seeing light and feeling warmth for the first time. As Isaiah 60:19 says, "The sun shall be no more your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give you light, but the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory." The knowledge and faith that had been in my head all these years finally descended into my heart. Since then, my perspective on life and the world has changed. Though I am a sinner, God who showers us with unconditional love, mercy, and grace, loves us so much that he sent his only Son to pay the price of our sins through his death and resurrection after 3 days. Isaiah 53:5 says, "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities." The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. I have found so much comfort and strength from God because I know that he is with me. God has shown his profound love and placed his peace and joy in our family. During this difficult time, he holds our hands and creates miracle after miracle. Isaiah 41:10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." I love him, worship him, obey his calls, and praise his holy name with all my life and everything I have. So I'm here tonight to be baptized.
Thank you. Well, Karen, we rejoice that God has used even part of life in the fallen world, cancer, to bring you to the knowledge of himself. Because of the clarity of your understanding of the gospel, that Christ died for the sins of all who would believe in him, and he was raised on the third day, because you have rejected every other way to God and put your faith in Christ alone, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Maxell Dusen. All my life, I thought I was a Christian because I was born in a Christian family. Of course, that doesn't make me, nor anyone, a Christian for that matter. Like David said, I was born in iniquity. In sin, my mother conceived me. Psalms 51:5. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Of course, Jesus says to the whole world, repent and believe. Mark 1:15. As a kid, I went to Christian schools, prayed, read my Bible, went to church, and knew that certain things were bad because of the way I was raised. In seventh grade, after heavily pressing on my parents, I went to public school. And that was for me when the world really opened up to me. Before, I was sort of kept in a bubble from the world. Although it may have gone really bad after choosing that, I must say that the Lord had a purpose for it in the end. For in the end, he had his plan for salvation to unfold upon me. And so, with my time in public school, my own depravity and corruption unmasked itself in ways I had never known nor seen before. For one, I hung around with bad company, which led sin to grow far more aggressively in me. And that's just as 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, bad company corrupts good morals. The degree of sins and evil I did escalated more and more as time went by. New things were introduced to me over time. Everything I had learned from my childhood was looked over. However, one thing remained, a deep mark in my heart left from all the things I had learned at home and at Christian schools about God and the Bible. That was a grace from the Lord. However, year by year, I grew worse. So much so that I figured that this was not the way I was raised. I lived with a rebellious spirit, spoke with unwholesome words, and lived in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, like 1 John 2:16. Some idols, to name a few, were football, athletics, and working out. I worshipped myself and lived for myself. With that, out of self-guilt, I picked up my Bible and started reading. Essentially, what I was doing was trying to work my way to God and thought I could perform good deeds that would please Him in order that I could feel better about myself and my sinful lifestyle. This, of course, is impossible to do because no one is justified nor saved by their works or deeds, but is completely saved by the grace of God through Jesus Christ. It's a gift of God so that no one can boast, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. I like to describe myself in my sophomore year of high school as like a roller coaster going up and down with the Lord, for a time seemingly doing well, but soon next falling down into sin, getting convicted, and trying to make my way back up again. This showed I couldn't please God because I was a slave to sin and a natural man who had not been born again by the Spirit of God and had the wrath of God abiding upon me. At that time, I had been watching many great sermons from great preachers, but it wasn't until one night in my room, I think in May of 2020, when I was 16, that I felt so convicted of my sin and hypocrisy. I was pierced through the heart over my sin that I got on my knees that night. I confessed my sins to the Lord and cried out to God to save me and show me mercy and be the Lord of my life. I felt like I was wrestling with God for this, the same way Jacob wrestled with the Lord long ago. But as Romans 10:13 says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So it was that night God pinned my heart down, and by His sovereign grace, I received the gift of faith to believe in Jesus through the testimony of the gospel which I heard. Believing in Christ, believing that Christ was able to save me and forgive me of my sins, I was born again and made into a new creature according to what is written in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. At that time, my heart was changed and the Lord began a journey of sanctification in me. All of a sudden, I got this great urge to learn theology. I graciously received some systematic theologies and resources from my grandpa and spent that entire summer studying them. I haven't stopped since, and now I have a desire to one day, if the Lord wills, to preach and be a pastor. I am studying for that very purpose and earnestly seeking to know if that is truly the Lord's calling for my life. My daily disciplines now are to begin my days in time with the Lord and in the morning, constantly being in prayer, seeking ways to grow more in more spiritual maturity and sanctification, and be connected with other believers of the faith in fellowship for encouragement, reproof, correction, and edification, to strive to love the Lord and the brethren more, just as those who received the word and were baptized in Acts 2:41, and in my desire to obey the Lord, to obey the command of the Lord in Matthew 28:19 and 20, I am here today to be baptized.
Well, Max, we are so grateful for the work of the Lord in your heart to bring you through sort of a facade of religion to understand who Jesus Christ really is. Because you have repented of your sins, because you put your faith in Jesus Christ and His finished work as your only hope, because by grace you have been saved through faith, and even that not of yourself, but as the gift of God, it is my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening. My name is Matthew Hill, and I have grown up in a Christian home my entire life. I was taught the truths of God from the youngest age. I thought for many years that I knew everything there was to know about the Bible in the mind of an elementary schooler. I could answer any question at church, Sunday school, or youth group. My leaders were always pleased by my responses. I have also relished in my morality for most of my life. By the time I reached middle school, I began to struggle with pride and developed a harsh, judgmental spirit. I was also becoming increasingly disrespectful to my parents. I didn't treat my siblings well, and I was closed off to relationships with others. I failed to meet the requirement found in Exodus 20:12 to honor my father and my mother. I failed to honor everyone else, too. I had also, from a young age, struggled with several self-destructive habits. I knew that as Romans 3:23 said, I was a sinner who had fallen short of the glory of God. It was in middle school that I began to look and feel like a Pharisee. I understood that they knew all there was to know about the Old Testament, that they had memorized much of it too, but that they were not genuine believers. This was exactly me. I was miserable because I knew hell existed and that the wage for my sin was death, as it says in Romans 6:23. In the spring of 2017, during eighth grade, I went to a church camp. While there, God convicted my heart of my sin, and the weight that I was not righteous nor a good person became too much to bear. I was what Ephesians 2:2-3 called a son of disobedience who lived in the lust of the flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and by nature a child of wrath. I was acutely aware that I did not personally have faith in God. During worship one evening at the camp, God pulled on my heart, and in that desperate moment, I repented of my sinful life and accepted Jesus as my Savior, asking God to help me put to death the old, sinful, ritualistic version of myself that was hell-bound and begin to live anew in Christ. I remember praying more than ever that evening. After accepting Christ, I felt lighter, as though sin no longer weighed so much. I also felt a sense of joy and contentment that I had never felt previously. Just as is written in Romans 10:9-10, my sins had been erased by God, not because of my good works, but because my heart had finally believed in Christ as Lord and Savior, and my mouth had truly professed faith in him. After believing Christ to be my Lord and Savior, I was still giving myself over to pride. Sometime around the end of high school, God helped me begin to confess and put to death the harshness and superiority I had towards others and the lust of my heart and ensuing sins that had plagued me for several years. The whole time, I was resistant to reading my Bible, and I firmly did not want to be baptized. I see now that I was still trying to play God. Very quickly, Christ brought me to see more of my sin. Though I graduated from high school with distinction, I completely failed my first semester of college. Humiliated and ashamed, I was forced to see that trusting myself was not leading to success. God helped me repent from my sins that had caused my own failure, and he graciously allowed me to grow in humility and faith. He also allowed me to grow closer with my girlfriend. We began to read the Bible together, and my parents entrusted us with teaching my brother and sister how to be biblical peacemakers through Corlette Sandy's The Young Peacemaker Study. Recently, I disclosed to my parents the two worst patterns of sin I had secretly struggled with. It was after confessing pent-up sins that I felt anew the grace of Jesus. It was also the freedom that resulted from this confession that changed my hardened heart and ignited my desire to obey Christ and be baptized. As seen in Romans 5:8, God so loved me that he had died to freely pay for my sins, despite him knowing that there would be 4 years of resistance against him even after I came to faith. Surely, as the scripture says in Ephesians 2:4-5, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Those 4 years were a major time of progressive sanctification for me, whereby God was enabling me to grow more like him. Oh, what love God has for me. I cultivate my relationship with God by spending personal time in his word, not just time in study with my family and at church. Since it is written in 2 Timothy that all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, I must read God's word to improve my relationship with God and to see substantial growth in any area of my life. I continue to grow in prayer and see God maturing me in the content of my prayers, more focused on praise for him and the good of others. God is helping me deepen my ability to engage in conversation for extended periods with my parents about scripture and doctrinal matters. They have been teaching my siblings and I to look at life through the lens of scripture. I want to strengthen my faith in God so that I will have the ability to love him as he calls me to, and to show others the love of Christ. It is because of this testimony and because God is good that I am here tonight to be baptized.
Well, Matthew, you referenced Ephesians 2 because you came to understand that you were dead in your trespasses and sins, but because God in his mercy and grace made you alive. By his grace, you've been saved. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Sophia Bond. Before I came to Christ, I lived life selfishly. I did things based on my self-gain and trusted in my own knowledge to guide me through life. As 1 John 2:15 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Before Christ, I loved the world. I lived for the world and longed to be a part of it. I had put my worth in other people's opinions rather than realizing my true condition. I was lost. Around 14, my family structure drastically changed, and the sins that I used to get away with no longer remained hidden, but were exposed in the light and made clear to me through discipline. John 3:20, "For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his work should be exposed." I was uncomfortable and did not like correction. I had believed I was a good person. However, around 16, as my sin and shortcoming became clear, I came to the realization that I was actually not a good person at all. And in fact, there are none who are good. Romans 3:10 through 11. "As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks for God. By God's grace, I realize there is no one to turn to but Christ alone. Jesus is God's Son and the second person of the Trinity. God sent his Son to pay the price for our sins and to take our place. When we repent and trust in him, we become redeemed and justified to God. Through his gift, we are born again and desire his will. 1 John 4:10, "In this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." After this realization, I then openly looked at my sin and repented and asked God to change me and soften my heart. Since then, I had noticed changes in my behaviors and desires. I actually opened my Bible for once. I no longer craved worldly pleasures, but craved to know God and understand his will. I became a different person and no longer hid my sins, but exposed them and sought correction. 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. I strive to glorify God through all I do and grow in sanctification, through reading his word and striving to deny myself, such as in Matthew 16:24-25. Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. Even though I definitely fail at times, I know God is faithful to his promises, and no matter what I do, I know I'm secure through the work of his Son. As it says in Isaiah 43:25, I am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake and will not remember your sins. I no longer rely on myself, but solely on Christ and the price he paid for my sins.' Proverbs 3:5-6, 'Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths.' And now that I am saved, I know I can trust in him. By his grace, my desires have been changed because I've been made new. Nothing gives me as much joy as living for Christ, which is why I'm here tonight to get baptized."
Well, Sophia, because you have believed the gospel, because you repented of your sins and put your faith in Christ, and because God has made you a new creation in Jesus Christ, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Lily Smith. Before coming to Christ, I was a selfish, hypocritical, and rage-filled child. Ephesians 2:3 says, "Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath." I thought I was saved because I went to church and because I served in church. However, I did not care about anyone else besides myself. My motivations were purely self-centered. I would lie constantly to stay out of trouble. John 3:19-20 says, "This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, And men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. I was very disrespectful towards my parents, and I would go around judging others for their sins while I had a log in my own eye. I would constantly profess that I was a Christian, but how I acted showed that I was just the opposite, a child of the devil. John 8:44a says, You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. I was self-righteous and would get very defensive when anyone would tell me of a way that I had sinned against them. I claimed to be a Christian, but I had no desire to read my Bible, pray, or leave the old sins that I had attached to in order to grow in righteousness. I was deep in the pit of sin and did not care to be pulled out. Other than on Sundays, I didn't even think about the Bible, my salvation, or even what was going to happen to me after I died. Towards the end of eighth grade, I attended a baptism service. I had sat through several before, but I always found ways to distract myself because I thought it was boring. During one of the testimonies, I heard the person say that they thought they had been saved for a long time and didn't realize that they actually hadn't been and that they had just convinced themselves that they were. Later that night, I sat in my room and thought, how could someone think they were saved for so long and not be? I started to think about where I would go if I had died that night. And by the grace of God, my eyes were opened, and I came to a realization that I would be going to hell. I realized what a wretched sinner I was, and while in tears I prayed that God would forgive me of my sins and the grief that I had caused him. I had sinned and therefore was not going to be able to commune with God in heaven. But by his infinite grace, he used Christ to be the perfect sacrifice on my behalf. Christ, in his death, took my sins so that I may be justified before the throne of God. Luke 18:13-14 says, "The tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift his eyes up to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, 'God be merciful to me, the sinner.' I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. Since putting my faith in Christ, I have been able to find joy in even the worst circumstances, because I know that my hope is found solely in Christ and not in the things of this world. I desire to live every day to glorify God and love being able to serve him alongside fellow believers. I strive to learn more about him, and I love listening to sermons and reading my Bible daily. I am constantly reminded of God's grace towards me when I sin, and am in constant awe of how loving and compassionate he is towards his children, even when they give in to temptation. He has forgiven me even before I stumbled. I desire to be patient to those around me and put their needs above my own. I love being able to fellowship with believers and rejoice with them for the glorious hope that we have. From the time that I wake up to the time that I go to sleep, I am in constant prayer that I will be a light for the people around me." Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven." I live every day depending fully on the grace of God and yearning for the day that Jesus comes back. For these reasons, I've come here to follow God's command and be baptized.
Well, Lily, our Lord said, "Blessed are the beggars in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Because like the tax collector in Jesus' story, you have cried out for God to show you mercy in Jesus Christ. Because you have been justified as a result of that, as Jesus said, "It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit."
Hello, my name is Daniel Bone. I grew up in a strong Christian home. My parents had family devotions and made sure I attended church, VBS, and Awana. I was consistently exposed to the truths of God's word and the gospel. Because of this, I learned all the answers to the Sunday school questions and memorized scripture. But deep down, my heart was full of sin. My life was characterized by pride, lying, selfishness, lust, hate, and the list goes on. Deep down, I was just like Ahab in 1 Kings 16:30 through 31a, which says, Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. And as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. I wanted to hide who I was. I wanted to seem like a model child, staying out of trouble like a good Christian boy should. In high school, my facade was starting to fall. I was scared of social interaction because I knew that people would figure out who I truly was. In pride, I wrongly convinced myself that it was the people in the high school group's fault that I didn't fit in. I didn't realize that I was a prime example of 1 John 4:20 and 21, which says, if someone says, I love God, yet he hates his brother or sister, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother and sister, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has seen, or whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God must also love his brother and sister. As an unbeliever, I could not truly love those around me, because in my heart that was dead in sin, I hated what they believed. Through most of high school, I continued to harden my heart against the truths of the gospel, and my sin continued to grow unchecked. My life was falling out of control. As I entered the late stages of senior year in high school, the weight of my sin bore down on me. God's law, written on my heart, was convicting me. I can't pinpoint the moment of my salvation. It was sometime between graduating high school and starting college. I remember reading Psalm 51, 1 through 4, which says, "Be gracious to me, God, according to your faithfulness. According to the greatness of your compassion, wipe out my wrongdoings. Wash me thoroughly from my guilt and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my wrongdoings, and my sin is constantly before me. Against you, you only I have sinned, and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak, and blameless when you judge." I understood my hopeless state before God. I knew I was a sinner, and that my only hope was to repent of my sins and believe in Christ. As it says in Acts 2:38, Peter said to them, "Repent, each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." He has softened my heart. I did as Jesus said in Matthew 4:17, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." I repented of my sins and accepted Christ as my Savior. Since becoming a Christian, I can see the effects of Galatians 2:20, which reads, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I understand that I don't live my life for or according to me, but for Christ in accordance with the Scriptures. While I am far from perfect, I can see the fruit produced through Christ in my life. I see a pattern of love for fellow believers, a love for God, a desire to follow his commands, and a desire to be in his word and pray. I strive for and love to be in the Scriptures. I align myself with God through prayer. I enjoy serving the church and spreading the gospel to those around me. I fight my fallen human nature to follow God's commands and await the day that I will be able to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courtyards with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, and that is why I stand before you to be baptized."
Well, Daniel, we rejoice that you came to understand your sin, and you came to understand that repentance is required for all who would enter the kingdom. Because you have repented of your sins, and because you placed your faith in the only one who could rescue you from them, Jesus Christ, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Emmanuel. This is not my first time being baptized. I was baptized as a baby and raised Catholic. I went to Catholic school and church. Besides this, I didn't have a very religious upbringing. We didn't go to church every Sunday. My life before salvation was typical of non-believers. I lived for myself and sinned without remorse. Although I always said I was Christian, I often lived as if God did not exist. I was who Paul referred to in Ephesians 4:17 when he wrote, being darkened by their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their hearts. Truly, I lived in utter futility. In search of meaning, I studied all sorts of philosophers and historical great people and civilizations. I fell into the trap of humanism, believing that there was somehow a way for man to be virtuous, to cope with the reality of death. I sought stories of great empires and societies that would leave a permanent mark in history. In truth, I was looking to glorify someone, something, everyone, or myself, but not God. As I matured, what is written in Ecclesiastes 9:3 became apparent to me. That is, this is an evil in everything that is done under the sun, that there is one fate for everyone. Furthermore, the hearts of the sons of mankind are full of evil, and insanity is in their hearts throughout their lives. Afterward, they go to the dead. Sometime in high school, I decided to begin reading the Bible. I read through the entire New Testament and bits of the Old. When I had questions, and I had many, I asked my grandfather. He had been saved some time ago and was the most passionate evangelical I knew. He had shared the gospel with me many times, but it was when I was studying the Bible, asking and discussing with him, that as the 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, my heart was pierced. Acts 2:37. He was used as an instrument by the Holy Spirit so that God would come into my life. I had heard in Catholic school about a gospel, however unsound in their doctrine and legalistic as it was. It was studying the Bible and discussing with my grandfather that I finally understood the grace of God. I came to grips with the total depravity of man, that we are sinners even in conception, Psalms 51:5, that there is not a righteous person on earth, Ecclesiastes 7:20. I finally understood the gracious gift, I understood the need for the Savior, for the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23, and I finally understood the gracious gift of God that God gave us in Jesus Christ the Lord, by grace, not by works, so that no one may boast, Ephesians 2:8 through 9. Jesus on the cross was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed, Isaiah 53:5. Sanctification slowly took place in my life as I began to follow Jesus. I started to look at things from the lens of the Bible rather than my own. After my salvation, I did not immediately go to a church. I instead listened, watched, and read good biblical pastors through that time. It was after a trip with some friends that I started attending church regularly. Seeing the sad state of so many people while we were traveling made me long to be around more Christians. My friend Connor was already coming to Countryside, so I started to come with him on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights for the Roots College ministry. Coming to Countryside has been a huge blessing in my life. I feel like I found a long-lost family. This is not a surprise, for it is written, we know that we have passed out to death into life because we love the brethren. The one who does not love remains in death. 1 John 3:14. To cultivate my walk with God, I study scripture and practice it daily. I follow Paul's words in Philippians 3:12 through 14. Not that I have already grasped it at all or have already become perfect, but I press on if I may also take hold of that for which I was taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The grace of God reached for me. Now I love to share the gospel and testimony with my friends, family, and coworkers, understanding that it is truly a miracle when any of us believes. Therefore, born again, saved by grace, through faith, I am here to be baptized.
Well, Emmanuel, we are so grateful for God's providential work in your life, exposing you to the gospel through online, through friends. We're grateful that you came to repudiate entirely any hope of being saved by your own works, by your own merit, but you've come to trust in the grace of God alone, through the work of Christ alone, received by faith alone, because that's your testimony. It's my joy to baptize you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, that's wonderful, isn't it? hear 11 stories of God's grace. We rejoice over that. I hope that you'll let these folks know, if you know them, or maybe you meet them tonight after the service, just let them know you'll be praying for them, if you will. I trust you'll commit to do so, that God will continue the work he's begun in their hearts. Join me now in prayer. Father, we're so grateful for your grace. We've heard it recounted in each of these testimonies. Lord, left to ourselves, we are depraved sinners with no hope. We're without you in the world, without Christ, alienated from you, would never be able to come to know you, our Creator. But Father, we thank you that not only are you holy and just, but you are also gracious, and that you, in your grace, delivered your own Son over, didn't spare him, but delivered him over for us all who would put our trust and faith in him. Lord, we thank you for the fact that through his perfect life, through his substitutionary death, and through his resurrection, that is the means by which you save us from our sins. You rescue us from the wrath that your justice must extend toward our guilt. And Father, we thank you that you raised him from the dead and that he's alive forevermore. Our trust is in your Son as our only hope. Thank you for the clear testimony of those who were baptized tonight. Lord, I pray for each of them. I pray for Emma and Everett, for Will and Ella, for Karen, for Max, for Matthew and Sophia, for Lily, for Daniel, for Emmanuel. Lord, I just pray that you would continue as you promise the work you've begun in their hearts until the day of Jesus Christ. Lord, that you would day after day transform them into the image of Christ from one level of glory to another until the day that they enter your presence and seeing Christ, they will be like him in their moral characters. Lord, thank you again for your grace toward all of us who have believed. Lord, I pray that you would make us eager as parents and friends did in the case of those who've given their testimonies tonight, to share the gospel with others so that you can use the truth as the seed planted to one day by your Spirit bear fruit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand together as we close our time.